Could I please get the children and teachers to come forward? Okay, I have a question for you. Have you ever been in a disagreement with someone? Have you ever felt like you're better than someone?
All the time.
Does he need to come forward too? Okay.
Someday. In a childlike way.
So, like, hypothetically, we might have a disagreement in a household about who does the most chores or who's put up the most dishes, things like this, right? And we might think that we're better than our sibling, hypothetically, for this, right? When we get in disagreements with people, when we think that we're better than people, are there ways that we maybe cannot do that? Like, what's something that, hypothetically, you and your sister have more in common than your disagreements? Okay, so the fact that you both fight with each other is not exactly what I'm going for here. I'm thinking of things like last names. All right, so you're both Williamses. Okay, it's a common denominator. Let me ask you this. Do we all love Jesus? Okay, so that is a common denominator between all of us that brings us together far greater and far more than anything that we might disagree with. So I hope that when you have disagreements with someone, you can take the time to recognize that there are far more things that you have in common with that person than things that you don't, okay? And may the Christ in you see the Christ in those that you have disagreements with. May you go forth to love and learn and grow. Amen. That's it. That's all we need. That's all Ben needs. He can go to sleep now. All right. May the Christ in me see and honor the Christ in you, and may the Christ in you see and honor the Christ in me. Please be seated. So many, many years ago, when I was a teenager, I had the opportunity to attend a high school fall conference retreat through the Episcopal Diocese of Western North Carolina. We do this twice a year in our diocese. Whether you're in middle school or high school, you have the opportunity to go to either Camp Henry at Lake Logan or Valley Cruces in Valley Cruces Boone for a weekend or a week or however long, maybe camp, something like that. A weekend or a week full of fun games and activities, reflection on our spiritual journeys, loud singing, obviously, it's children, meaningful learning, and of course, worship. As is the case at most of the events such as this, some of the first activities that we participate in are things called icebreakers. Whether you've been to camp or some corporate event or something like that, these are things to kind of break the ice and make it more comfortable for people to be vulnerable and be around each other and do something a little different than you're used to. Now, often, icebreakers, as we know, are silly, and they're to encourage the shyer and more nervous of us to feel confident about meeting and interacting with other people. There was this one weekend, though, at a fall conference that had an icebreaker that was so deep and yet so simple, and yet powerful and meaningful that I will never forget it. And I will attest to its effectiveness in building a beloved community. The way that it worked was that for about 10 minutes, or however long icebreakers are supposed to last, everyone moves around in a room, picture a room sort of this size without pews, and they introduce themselves to one another. Simple enough. There's lots of ways to do this. You can say, people with odd month birthdays go on that side. People with even month go on that side. Introduce yourself to someone you've never met, tell them what you like, and then move on to the next person. Or like, if you like Carolina, come up here. If you like Duke, get out of here. I'm just kidding. I love their great school. Great school. Anyway. Typically, things like this are going to be like, hi, my name's Ian Williams. I'm from Polk County. I like soccer and snowboarding. What's your name? But this weekend, the instructions for the activity went like this. You greet someone and you say to them, the Christ in me sees and honors the Christ in you. And may the Christ in you see and honor the Christ in me. It's It's a very simple way to start a conversation. Yet it gets directly to the point, and it gets us at that perfect foundation, that perfect common denominator for us to have conversations with people, even if, especially if we disagree with them. Recognizing and naming that we see that God does indeed reside in everyone begins to move us past barriers of every kind. When we understand that God loves those whom we don't agree with or understand, a most holy common denominator is established. As a teenager, in my context, there were many ways in which we divided ourselves into the various groups in which we divided ourselves. I had my circle of good friends that I could easily have spent my entire weekend catching up with. Also, there's other teenagers that like to play soccer, that like to go snowboarding. There are other people that like the same kind of music as me. There are others who are outgoing and silly like me. Also, there are teenagers who don't like any of those things. There were teenagers that I just didn't like, others that I had seemingly nothing in common with, and others that I knew that I would only have the most superficial of conversations with. But by greeting one another and saying the Christ in me sees and honors the Christ in you, the barriers that ordinarily might have prevented us from having deep, meaningful, and important conversations were set aside, even if only for a couple of days, and the result was a communal level of growth that I had yet to experience in any of those things that I'd done like that before that point. And so, as I reflected on our gospel lesson today, as well as the state of our culture and society as a whole, I began to wonder, what if every time we met someone that we use something like the salutation, the Christ in me sees and honors the Christ in you? What if a general attitude of gratitude and thanksgiving was adopted within our national discourse and political debates? What if recognizing and honoring God's presence in those we encounter was the basis for the relationships that we have with our partners, with our children, our parents, our friends, and our neighbors? What if this was our approach when we encounter people with whom we disagree with, theologically or ideologically? What if we intentionally began those difficult encounters with difficult people by recognizing God's presence within them? What if we began every encounter by recognizing that God resides in all people, even those, and friends, especially those we don't like or agree with? And what if we honored them as such and treated them with the same reverence that we treat God and others with whom we actually do agree with? I wonder how we might be changed. I wonder what this would ask of us. I wonder how this would affect our relationships, and I wonder what difference that would make in this world. I wonder how such an attitude might help heal wounds and bridge divides. And I wonder if Jesus is calling his followers to approach those they encounter with the same humility and reverence that they offer up to God. Now, over the past couple of months and throughout your entire lives as Christians, we have explored various stories and parables that Jesus told those who traveled with and gathered around him. And without much historical background, we might see Pharisees and tax collectors as sort of stock biblical figures of like evilness. The self-righteous, rule-bound religious leader, lacking in compassion and insight, is here contrasted with the repentant, meek, simple, and humble tax collector. Juxtaposes these two roles in the society in which he lived. We have come to the point, I think, that the word Pharisee is used to describe someone acting with hypocrisy and self-righteousness. However, in Jesus' time, Pharisees held to a generous interpretation of Scripture. And the aim of Pharisaic law was to make observance of Torah available to anyone who wanted it. On the other hand, tax collectors were seen as collaborators with the hated Romans. Rather than being paragons of simple and humble living, tax collectors were seen as corrupt, dishonest, and often use their positions of power to become wealthy at the expense of their own people. So when Jesus juxtaposes the Pharisees with the tax collectors, and he does this often, we can see that his message would have been incredibly subversive and probably very confusing to the people that were listening to it. Jesus' use of these distinctly different groups of people draws attention to the human condition that afflicts all people across all time and across all religious traditions. This condition is as real and prevalent today as it was during Jesus' day. What Jesus is highlighting and warning against here is the deception that we can trust in ourselves only, viewing ourselves as righteous and regarding others with contempt. It is the tendency to see that the one true and right way is something like my country's way, my party's way, my religion's way, my church's way, my culture's way, my way. But is that God's way? Is that the way that Christ shows us? Am I truly following Jesus if I'm doing everything my way? How often do we behave like the Pharisee in this parable? How often do we look at the outwardly appearance of another human being and make judgments about who they are on the inside? How often do we take the appearance, the accent, perhaps actions, behaviors, lifestyle and life choices, the beliefs and practices of another human being, and make conclusions or judgments about that person's value and worth, their dignity, their motivations and desires, their intellect or ability, their holiness or their goodness? Now, if you're anything like me or like the Pharisee, I imagine it happens more than we might admit or even realize. Jesus invites us to look through the lens of God rather than our own lenses. Jesus invites us to recognize that God resides in every person that God has created. When we view and regard those who are different from us through our own self-righteous lenses, our conclusions and judgments are almost always in our favor and against the person we are comparing ourselves to. God, I thank you that I am not like other people. Thieves, rogues, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all my income. We may similarly say or pray something like, God, I thank you that I am not like those people and that I do things the right way. I think we all have some of those people in our lives. The Pharisee in our story only sees the outside of the tax collector. He does not see that person's hopes, their fears, their pain, their aspirations, their struggles, or their dreams. He doesn't see the myriad of ways in which they are probably more alike than either of them could ever possibly realize. We often see those who are different from us and separate ourselves from them. We raise ourselves up and put the other down, making ourselves more and the other less. I try to deny that I judge others while patting myself on the back, but I think I know that I'm doing it when I'm doing it. I know I pass judgment on others while ironically being thankful that I am not as hateful or judgmental as those hateful or judgmental people. Isn't it ironic? Don't you think? The issue here is that the self-righteous separating we often engage in ultimately leaves us standing alone. Alone amidst a whirlwind of fear, unable to see that God is all around us and within all of us. We fear the unknown. We fear the stranger. We fear not being in control or not having enough, or even sometimes not being enough. We fear being vulnerable, intimate, and hurt. And yet we know that the opposite of fear is faith, and we are called to have faith. And we know that we are justified in and through our faith in God. Rather than viewing the world through the self-righteous lens of our way, what if we could look at the world, at others, through the lens of Christ? What if we make the choice to recognize God's presence in all we encounter or consider? What if we make the choice to stand outside of ourselves and in the life of another? What if we walked or scooted a mile in someone else's shoes? What if? What if we considered what people and events shaped who they are and what they believe? And better yet, what if we had the courage to ask those who we don't agree with or understand to tell us their story? It might sound something like this. I don't agree with you, but I want to know you. What are your hopes? What are your fears, your pains, your aspirations, your struggles, and what are your dreams? How are you hurting? Where do you find meaning? What do you need? And what do you hope for yourself and for your family? I imagine that whatever differences there may be between people, the answers to these questions would actually be remarkably similar. When we open ourselves to see and honor the Christ in everyone that we meet, it becomes, I think, impossible to hate that person. And extremely unlikely that we may stand away from them, thanking God that we are not like them. When we see and honor the Christ in those we encounter, our hearts are filled with love, our eyes are filled with understanding and compassion, and our hands reach out in solidarity and peace. This, friends, is what God is doing in and through Jesus. In Jesus, God stands outside God's self and in human life to feel with our hands, to see with our eyes, and to love with our hearts. Can we not do that for each other? In Christ, God lives and experiences humanity and invites humanity to live and experience divine life, divine love. He intends us to stand outside of ourselves and in the lives of others. The Pharisee in this story isn't necessarily the bad guy. He's not inherently wrong or worse than the tax collector. He's afraid to face the truth of his own life, and so he justifies himself. Similarly, the tax collector also isn't necessarily the good guy, but he does face the truth about himself, and he returns to his home justified. We open ourselves to see and honor the truth of another person's life when we face the truth of our own lives. This is the work that God has given us to do. It is very hard work, admittedly, but I know that we can do it with God's help. We make the choice whenever we encounter or consider another human being, whether they be a family member, a friend, a neighbor, a stranger, an enemy, to recognize God's presence within them. So, this week, friends, I encourage you to consider what it means, what it actually means, to go in peace to love and serve the Lord. And perhaps it will start by saying to the people that you meet, the Christ in me sees and honors the Christ in you. And may the Christ in you see and honor the Christ in me. Amen.